Good morning. He is risen. I want to also invite you to give it up for those that cooked breakfast this morning. They did a wonderful job. Thank you so much. I hope that you did have a chance to have some of that. They did good. I love Easter. I love the whole resurrection morning theme. I love the idea and the fact that the tomb of Jesus is empty. Isn't that good news? I love that. There's a lot of stories around the whole Easter theme that go way, way back, and you can read some of it. I mean, Matthew elaborates a little bit. There's this story, well, someone come and stole him. There's this story, well, he wasn't ever dead. But you know what? We believe the Bible is true, and when it says the tomb is empty, we believe it's because he was raised from the dead, just like he said. You know, 1 week ago, Casey was reminding us how the palm branches were getting laid down and they were waving and they were shouting, Hosanna! They were shouting as he entered into Jerusalem, shouting praises, anticipating the kingdom of God. And 4 and 5 days later, they're shouting, crucify him! Even when Pilate tried to let him go, crucify him! Why? What has he done? Pilate said. Crucify him was the reply. We know the story. He was crucified. He was dead. He was buried in the tomb. And then comes Sunday. I want to take us on a lengthy circle this morning, so please bear with me. I'm going to start in Matthew 28 with some scripture that you know and I know, but it's a reminder of what happened that morning. Real briefly, Matthew 28, 1 through 7, if you've got your Bibles. I'm reading from the New King James Version, but I'm going to take us on a longer circle than that, so let me just start here. Matthew writes this, now after the Sabbath, okay, it's Sunday morning. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, Matthew writes, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His, that's the angel, countenance was like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him, that's the angel, and became like dead men. I love that story. I love it for a lot of reasons, but these Roman soldiers, they saw it. Oh, they didn't admit to it later on. Matter of fact, they're paid off to say something different. You can read that in the Matthew and Mark, Luke and John. But they saw it. They saw the stone moved. They saw the angel sitting there. They felt the earthquake. They knew it was happening. You know what, friends, I've concluded, and it took me a while to conclude this. But when the angel rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it, that's pretty cool in itself, but when he rolled back that stone, he didn't do it for Jesus' sake. You with me? He's God. He did it for our sake. And Mary, and those that were there. So they see the tomb is empty. The angel, verse 9 or 5, the angel answered and said to the women had seen it too. The Roman soldiers had seen it, felt it, experienced it, so did Mary and Mary. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, the angel said, for he is risen as he said. Remember now, he rolled back the stone. He says, come see the place where the Lord lay. He rolled the stone away so he could show them he is risen. He is not here. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. I love this story. Amen? He is risen. As I read through this, and Sherry and I watched a couple of movies this week just to get my mind and my heart wrapped around this again, we watched The Greatest Story Ever Told. That's an older movie. It was on TV when I was a kid. I remember it as a teenager. We watched that earlier in the week, and last night we watched The Passion of the Christ. When you watch The Passion of the Christ and you see the scourging and the crucifixion, and you know in your mind what Isaiah said that was leading up to this point, your heart breaks and my mind screams, why would God do that for me? When I watch what happened, scourging is not a pretty sight. Crown of thorns smashed down on his head, spit on. And if the physical suffering wasn't enough, it's horrible. I mean, crucified unto death. If that wasn't enough, when you read the accounts and the Jewish people who knew the book of Moses, who knew Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Psalms, and knew that someday the Messiah would come, and yet they shout, we have no king but Caesar. Why would we do that to him? Why would he put himself through it? Is Dennis here? Where's Dennis? Is your dad here? My brother Dennis and I were talking about this very thing a lot of years ago when I was still at the plant. And I'd given Dennis a Bible, and I challenged him to read the book of John. And I said, just read it, and if you got questions, maybe I can answer them for you. And one day I'm milling around the plant, and I come upon Dennis in his workstation, and I said to Dennis, did you get it read? He said, I did. I got it read. He read the book of John. And he said, but I got a question. I said, tell me your question. He said, why'd they kill him? Why'd they kill him? And as I watched The Passion of the Christ last night and the scourging, I had to look away even when I saw the nails. And I thought of Dennis's question, and I thought again, why would God do that? Why would he allow that treatment of his son? Why would he be rejected by his 12? One of them flat out betrayed him. The other 11 bailed on him. One of them who said, God, I'll go with you even to prison and to death. And before the rooster crowed, he denied, I don't even know him. Why would he put himself through that? Why did the religious elite hate him so? They had two choices. When the Sanhedrin gathered together that night and the high priest asked him, tell us plainly, are you the Christ? They had two choices. And so do we. We either believe him when he said, I am who I said I am. Oh, we call him a blasphemer. And that's what they chose. He's a blasphemer. Why would he put himself through it? There's a lot of answers to those questions. But it boils down to one answer, I think. And you know it as well as I do. It boils down to John 3:16. For God so loved the world. How could he love us? How could he love us when we treated his son like that? How could he love us in our sin? For God so loved the world. He so loved his creation that he breathed into, back in the Garden of Eden, the breath of life. He so loved his creation. He didn't want us in hell. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why he allowed what he allowed. That's why he allowed the cross. Because God loved us. In all of our sin, in all of our rejecting of Jesus, because God loved us, hope my nose doesn't bleed. It seems like it wants to. When Sherry and I were at the pastor's retreat a couple of weeks ago, there were several speakers there, one of whom I met before and have talked to before. His name is Pastor Tommy Oglesby. He's out of Mount Pleasant, Texas. Pastors a nice, large Baptist church there in Mount Pleasant and been in the ministry for a long, long time. And I talked to Tommy. I even prayed with him. I just love his sermons. I just love listening to him. And at this particular retreat, he told us a little bit about himself. He said he came to faith at 6, came to Christ at 6 years old. And by the time he was 11, he knew he was destined to be a preacher. I told the earlier service, when I was 11, I was thinking about what was for lunch. But Tommy at 11 knew he was going to be a pastor. And at 12, he gave his first sermon to a church full of people. And at 14, he was preaching his first revival meeting. Tommy loves the Lord. He loves to preach, and it shows, and I love listening to him. Anyway, during that first message that Tommy brought, he spoke about how D.L. Moody said a long time ago, the world's greatest text, D.L. Moody, I know maybe some of you don't know him, but most of you do know something about D.L. Moody, I think. But anyway, Pastor Tommy said, Moody once said, the world's greatest text is John 3:16. Tommy said a lot more about that, and I don't have time to elaborate today, but I think about the questions that I've asked, and Dennis asked me a lot of years ago, why did they kill him? It boils down to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he didn't want his created people in hell. For God so loved the world, he'd allow his son to be scourged, flogged nearly to death, hung on a criminal's cross, bleed and die. For God so loved the world, he allowed that. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, because he knew ever since the Garden of Eden through the time of Moses up until the time of Jesus, he knew it took blood to appease a holy God of us sinners. It took blood. It took blood in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve said, let's go ahead and try this fruit. God comes along and he had to kill animals and clothe them because they knew they were naked. It took blood in the time of Moses when the children of Israel were together because they were a sinful people, kind of like we are. And it took blood to appease a holy God from their sin. And he knew it would take blood of his son to atone for my sin and yours. He knew, God knew it all along. It's someday that when John the Baptist said, and he knew it, and he was right, when he saw him, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, God knew it would take the blood of his son to redeem us from our sin. That's why. You know, when Jesus was 12 years old, he was in the temple teaching the smart folks. But he knew then the cross was in mind at 12. He knew it. The cross is coming. When he saw the multitudes, thousands of them, and he took a little boy's lunch, just a few loaves and a few fishes, and he fed thousands of them. I'm sure he felt wonderful about that accomplishment, but he knew the cross was in mind. When he raised Lazarus, when he shouted, John chapter 11, Lazarus, come forth. And the people marveled. He even raises the dead. He knew the cross was in mind. He knew the cross was coming. Jesus knew the statement he would make. We have it recorded in John 3:16 before he ever spoke it. He knew that God loved the world so much that he would send his son to die, that whoever would embrace the son should not perish. That means go to hell, but have everlasting life. That means go to heaven. He knew that phrase before he spoke it. I've got a lot more notes in here than I got time for. So let me just cut to the chase and bring this circle around together. Sherry and I also heard CEO of the Christian Motorcycle Association the first night we were at the pastor's retreat. We've heard John speak to us pastors before. Always love listening to him. So encouraging and so challenging. He's the chairman of the board, the chief executive officer of the Christian Motorcycle Association. And I don't know that John even claims to be a pastor, but he's certainly a man of God. He loves the Lord. And it shows. But anyway, he spoke to us the first night, and he said something, and I grabbed my notebook and I wrote it down as soon as he said it, because even though I've thought about it so many times, something registered with me that night that was different than ever before. As a matter of fact, the next couple of Sundays, I'm going to speak to this phrase that he spoke, and I'm going to reiterate it in just a minute. I thought it was so profound and so important. But I wrote it down, and I've been thinking about it ever since. I won't forget it, I'm sure, all my life. But he said this: we don't get to go to heaven on our terms. Now, I'm sure I've thought about that in the past 64 years, or at least a few years. I'm sure I've thought about that. But the more I've thought about it, and I've talked to other pastors since I've been back about it, the more I realize how true it is. Now remember, full circle. Why did God incarnate die? Why did all the disciples bail on him? Why did Peter say, I don't even know who he is? Why did God love us so much that he was willing to send his son for that? And when I thought of all those questions, and I thought about the cross, and I thought about the empty tomb, I thought about what John said that night. We don't get to go to heaven on our terms. And I'm going to drill down that on the next couple of weeks. I don't have time today, but he died on that cross so we could go to heaven. He rose from the dead because he's God incarnate. He wanted to make it possible for us to be with him forever. But it's only on his terms. It's not on mine. It's not on yours. It's not on the next pastor, the next priest, the next pope, or the next president. It's on his terms. I've had a lot of discussion with a lot of people because I've done a lot of funerals in the last few years. And when we come together at funeral times, our hearts are broken and we're saddened, and we're all longing for heaven, longing for that. Nobody wants their loved one in hell. And I don't believe I've heard somebody yet say, well, my loved one's in hell now. Pretty sure I've never heard that. Full circle. He went to that cross because God loved us. He died on that cross so we don't have to die in our sin. Because ever since Adam and Eve, we are sinful, all of us. And until we recognize what was accomplished on that cross, and until we embrace that by faith, we're just going through life assuming, well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, I went to church a couple times. Well, I got baptized once. Matter of fact, I even might have got baptized twice. It's not on our terms that we get to be part of His kingdom forever. It's only on His terms. Jesus didn't die in vain. He died to keep us from hell. He died to rescue us as sinners. He died because we desperately need Him. And because He died, and because we have the Word of God, and because we come together on celebrations like this at Easter, and I hope we give Him a whole lot more time than Easter, because He deserves what He went through on that cross. He deserves a whole lot more than Easter. But when we understand that, when we start to understand that, when we start to understand a little bit about Christmas and Easter and who God is, we have a choice. Am I going to follow Christ? That's His terms. Many people will hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and they will turn to Christ and embrace Him by faith. And just like the crowds that shouted, "Crucify Him," many will not. They want heaven on their terms. Many will not turn to Him. Many will not embrace Him. Many will not commit to following Christ. And if we're ever going to be part of the kingdom of God and eternity with Jesus, we must embrace Christ and commit to following Him. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? We don't get to be part of heaven on our terms, only on His. He didn't die in vain. He died to rescue us, but we must respond to the gift of Jesus. We must respond to Him by faith. You say, "Jim, I do believe in Him." And you just read John 3:16 that said, "Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish." That believing means I wholeheartedly embrace Him to the point He's changed me. Are you hearing me today, friends? If there's been no change in your life, if nobody can tell you're a believer, you say, "Well, I'm a Christian as the next Jim." If there's no evidence, then who's fooling who? He died on that cross. He rose again from the tomb to rescue us. And when we embrace Him by faith, He will change you. Praise team, are you still? We still got a praise team here? Awesome. Friends, let me wrap it up with this, and we're going to sing this song. As we celebrate the empty tomb today, we're reminded of the death of God, God incarnate. We're reminded of that because God so loved the world. He had a plan to redeem us. But it's not on our terms. Are you hearing me today? It's not on our terms. So I'm simply asking you, if you're not sure, and if you've been kind of thinking, well, I've been a pretty good person, and I think when I get to the pearly gates, I'll just go ahead and take my chances. That's our terms. His terms are, you must be born again. He didn't die in vain. God's love for us was not in vain. But we must respond by faith in what He has done and who He is. We must embrace Him by faith if we're going to be part of His kingdom, both now and forever. And so I simply ask us today, will you believe in that today? Will you embrace Him by faith if you never have? Will you embrace the Christ by faith? Will you surrender it all to Jesus? And if you're not sure that you've ever answered the call of Jesus on your life, come follow me, then I want to encourage you to commit today. I believe to the point of embracing Him by faith and receiving Him by faith. I believe what He did on that cross was for me. I believe to the point I'm going to commit to follow Jesus. If you've never got there, friends, please don't delay. Please don't wait another year, another month, another day. Commit to follow Christ today. If you want to come up and pray at the altar, Casey will pray with you. I'll pray with you. If you want to just come up here and sit and you want to be prayed over, we'll pray for you. If you want to do it right where you're at, but do it today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The more we say, I think I'll just go ahead and put that off, I think I'm good enough, the more we do that, the easier it is to say, just go on with life and never surrender to Christ. That's His terms. Friends, we're going to close in prayer. And I hope you have a wonderful day of Easter, of celebrating the empty tomb. Now I'm just going to ask us to bow our heads and close our eyes. And I'm going to ask us to ponder, have I committed to following Christ? Only you know that. You and the Lord are the ones that have to work that out. But if you're here today and you're not sure you've got the peace in your heart because you've surrendered everything to Christ, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, but will you raise your hand and just commit to the Lord today? I need to commit to Jesus. Will you slip your hand up and then down? Thank you, thank you. Will you just commit today? I'm going to follow Jesus. Thank you. You can put them down now. I want you to know, friends, this. God knows our hearts. He knows mine. He knows yours. And He knows if you're ready, if today was the last day. I'm just here to love you and to encourage you to put your faith in Christ. But He knows your heart. I don't. And I'm just asking you if you'll listen to that voice. I know God is speaking to people today as He was in the first service. God is speaking to people today saying, I love you. I sent my Son to die for you. But you've got to commit by faith to my Son, Jesus Christ. And so, friends, if you're wondering about that today, and if you would, some of you already have, slipped your hand up and down. If you're wondering about that, you know that you should, slip your hand up and down. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I also want to get you some literature, and I'm going to try to do that in the next few days. Remember the circle now this morning. He died on the cross for our sin. The tomb is empty. He died on the cross because God loves us, but we must embrace Him by faith if we're going to be part of His kingdom today and forever. And so acknowledging Him by faith is how we do that. And so I'm going to pray for us. You pray along in your hearts. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me, for us. I recognize today, Father, I need Jesus. I've known about Jesus. I've believed in Jesus. But I recognize today, if I'm going to be part of the kingdom of heaven and God, it's not on my terms, it's on yours. I commit my life to Christ. I surrender to Jesus. Forgive me, lead me, save me. I need you, God. Father, I just want to close this day by praying for all that are here today. Many have raised their hands. Some raised their hands in the earlier service. And I suspect in other church services around America and the globe today that other people are finding out for the first time, in order for me to be part of the kingdom of God, I've got to recognize what was done on the cross and embrace that by faith. And so, Father, I thank you for everyone that's moved from a head knowledge about who Jesus is to a heart knowledge. He has now become my Savior. I thank you, Father, and pray for everyone. Fill them with your Spirit. Guide them by your Spirit. Help them to know that they are loved. Help them that they know Christ died for them. And help them, Father, to commit not only this day, but each day I'm going to deny myself and I'm going to follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us this morning. Thank you, Father, for the plan to redeem us through the death of your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for taking that terrible, cruel beating and crucifixion and my sin upon yourself. Thank you, Jesus, so that I and we would not end up in hell. Thank you, Jesus. Help everyone here to have a holy, blessed resurrection day. And Father, I do pray. I know there's people that hurt. We mentioned it earlier. We have people in the hospital clinging to life. We have people in the care centers. We have friends and family that have lost their loved ones. Father, you know that better than I do. I just want to pray. Comfort them like only you can. Help them to feel the peace of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the strength of Jesus, and walk with them whatever they're walking through. We'll be sure to give you the glory, Father. We will be sure to give you the glory. I pray it all in the name of Jesus, the one who died, the one at whose name every knee will bow someday. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.